This is Phil Farrand. And I am driving home. Although I'm not leaving for a few minutes. And in fact, I'm just kind of getting a jump start on this podcast because I need to take my son-in-law home. And so he doesn't realize it yet, but he's going to be on the podcast today. So we're just going to wait for him. And then when he comes out, we'll just drive home, and then that'll be about normal time. It's about 5:30. I told him I'd take him home at 5:45, so we'll just wait for him, and then that will put us home about 5:40, 5:55, 6-ish, and then I'm hopping in the car with my beloved, and we are heading over to have a little dinner with our small groups people, so all is well, all is good. Work is good. I got my part of end of month closing done for my major client this last week, and that all seems to be fine, and yay. That's always nice when that goes well without any complications. So yay. And we're puttering along on a bunch of other stuff. We are next week. One of our guys who has Lance, he's worked in the department for 35 years, a lot of years. He is retiring, so that's very exciting. So that's going to be a big transition for us. But you know, Jesus is kind. He's good. He's going to help us. It's going to be okay. I think I did solve at least part of the mystery of why my recorder was acting weird and sometimes not starting, because I have a little wired remote that typically I plug in and then I push the buttons and that gets it started and blah, blah, blah. I just noticed today that the end of that wired remote, the plug-in end, the male end, is completely broken off. Which means that it was probably getting weak and maybe that was part of the problem and maybe, that was, I don't know. Anyways, so yeah. We're just holding out. We're holding out as long as we can with this recorder because it's been a good recorder. So we're holding out. So work is fine. All things considered, it's all going well. We're puttering along. We're making progress. And I'm right now working on a project where we can put up electronic 1099s so people can come get their electronic 1099s from us, and that's all going fine. Helping out with a few other things in the particular department that I'm in. You know, we're good. One step at a time. It's just one step at a time. Writing is fine. I purposely ended about 250 words shy of where I need to be at this point of the week because I wanted to get onto the costume stuff. But I'm on chapter 25 now, and there's normally about 30, 32 chapters in a book, and I've got 4 weeks now to get this locked in according to the schedule. So that all seems to be on track, and I know where I'm going. And I know what the parable is. Now, I knew what the parable was. I just didn't know what the teaching of the parable was. But I got that this last week. And then just today, I was doing some work, and I happened to think about the epilogue for the book. I kind of knew what I was going to do, but then I got the rest of it today. And it was like, oh, yeah, okay. So I think I'm in pretty good shape for this. I still have a few little rustlings about, you know, I get these little rustlings where there's this little whisper and it says, you know, it'd probably be good if you did a little of this, talk about a little of this in this book. And so I've got to figure out how to work that in. And I'm actually getting the feeling at this point that one of these books needs to completely sidestep and change the focus to where the crew of the Dominion is actually just sort of a footnote. And We'll see. We'll see. I've got a couple of different ideas for that. But we'll see. We'll see. So all that's very, very interesting. As far as the costumes go, I am working on the steampunk jetpack now for Be an Angel Day. And that's going fine. I'm getting all the pieces cut out. I've got the main body of the jetpack put together. And I've got all the pieces cut out now for all the knickknacks and doodads around it. And I believe I have all the supplies that I need. So with all of that in mind, then I think I'm in pretty good shape for that. So this weekend, the goal for this weekend would be to get the jetpack finished. We'll see how that works out, because there's a lot of pieces to get glued and then painted and all that kind of stuff. But at least I can get all the knick-knack stuff on, glued in place, all the tubings cut, all that sort of thing. I think I'll be in pretty good shape. As of tomorrow, it will be 2 weeks before Be an Angel Day, because I'm celebrating Be an Angel Day on the 19th, and I think Be an Angel Day is the 21st or 22nd, something like that. So I think I'm in pretty good shape for that. I still have to take a couple of Nerf guns, one complicated Nerf gun, and steampunk them up. But it's cool because I have enough pieces and patterns and things with the jetpack that I can repurpose those patterns, I think, and bring them over, and I think we'll be good. So it's good. I did come across, this was just quick, I did come across Michaela Peterson talking to a marriage counselor and talking about what attachment issues look like in couples. And there were some things in here that I thought, you know, really pretty interesting. It is just short, which will work out fine, because theoretically by the time I finish talking about this, Alan is going to be walking out the door. And this counselor was talking about the fact that 70% of divorces are initiated by women. And he said, but as a couples therapist, I have never seen even one divorce where the husband didn't have, okay, Sean and Sharon are going to bring him home. So, just a second, let me respond. Cool. I was happy to do it. Alright. So, he's got another ride home, so I'm just going. So, we won't have son-in-law joining us for the podcast. I'm wondering if he looked out the window and saw I was recording the podcast and decided that he was going to be so anyways, so this counselor was saying that he had not seen one divorce where the husband didn't have attachment issues. Now that's interesting, because Michaela then of course asked the questions, well, what do attachment issues look like in couples? And he said, one thing I see a lot is trying to earn approval by doing various things. So he said, women with attachment issues use sex with their partner to get approval and love from that partner. Sex becomes a performative act where she's more focused on the fact that he's having the time of his life instead of her having a mutually shared experience with him. So you've got, in this scenario, you know, you've got a misbalance because the wife has taken on the good wife persona as being someone who's interested in sex all the time and, you know, is willing to meet her husband's needs, quote unquote. And so she's going after it, but she's not necessarily going after it because it's something that she wants to do or it's something that she feels satisfied. There are women who go after it and feel satisfied by, you know, that. But if it's just an attachment issue, what this counselor is saying, you just have a wife who feels like she has to do this. You know, she has to perform. And then he went on to talk about men with attachment issues. And according to him, he had never seen a couple who was getting a divorce where the men didn't have attachment issues. So the question is, to him from Michaela, what does that look like? And he said, as far as men, it's built on getting approval and specifically sexual approvals. It's, quote, how can I get my wife to have sex with me, unquote. And we've talked about this before. You know, we've talked about, by design, the system is imbalanced. That's how we propagate the species. You hop men up, you give them an accelerated sex drive, you make it easy for them to spread their seed far and wide, you give them an overabundance of seed and hope that some of it gets in the right place. On the woman's side, her best, most traditional way to lower the anxiety in her life is to have children. In order to get children, she needs a husband, because it's really good if you have someone who's protecting you and watching out for you and helping provide for you and helping take care of the children. That's really good, if you get a good man. And so she's looking for that, and just naturally, she is going to turn on the flood lamps and focus all her attention on the man as they are dating, because she's trying to get to a goal, babies. And it's just instinctive, and that's just the way it works. And then after she gets to babies, of course, she's got a whole lot of stuff that she's focusing on, taking care of babies, making sure they're okay, being concerned about the general environment, all that sort of thing. And so naturally, she drifts away from what was this focus of, I've got to get to the place where I'm making babies. Or I've got to get to the place where at least I have someone who is on my team, who is providing for me, who's providing protection. And so this trope of a man starting out with this relationship with a woman that's very playful and very fun, and then having it moderate into something else, you see this trope over and over and over and over. And typically, men respond to that by thinking if they could just find the right formula, if they could just find the right button, if they could just find the right thing to say, then my wife would have sex with me. So this counselor goes on to say he may do nice things for her, and he expects her to respond and be so thrilled that he did the dishes and walked the dogs and took care of the kid that she is suddenly going to become spontaneously aroused and leap on him like a jungle predator. And when she does it, when she's just happy, like, cool, you're holding down the fort, you're being a great partner, that's wonderful, well, then he gets angry and he gets sad and he gets passive aggressive. He says, why isn't she meeting my needs? why doesn't she care about me? Because he doesn't understand the trope. And so this guy was expressing the problem that I have with a whole bunch of marriage counseling that we hear, and marriage counseling in Christian circles that is done by men, that breeds this type of attachment disorder. Because, I mean, we had a marriage counselor guy came to our church, and he, you know, got into this little business talking about sex, but it was all formula based. It was like, you know, a woman needs non-sexual touches, 7 non-sexual touches during the day to get in the mood. Then you got to make sure there's no distractions. And then you got to, and I'm thinking, buddy, all that's happening here is she's reading all the signals you're getting, and she's kind of resigning herself and going, yeah, well, I guess I got to have sex with my husband tonight. And she's looking at that as her duty. She's looking at it as the load she has to bear. Now, does it have to be that way? No, it doesn't have to be that way. No, it doesn't. But all things being equal, if you just let the reproductive systems, as paired with the flesh, run and do their things, what you are going to see over and over and over and over is this model of the guy is all hot and bothered, especially when he's in his teens and early 20s. The guy's all hot and bothered. The woman is all hot and bothered in the beginning as well, because there are rewards to being all hot and bothered in the beginning. And then there's a commitment of marriage, and that's one of the rewards. And then potentially there's children, potentially there's not. But all things being equal, you know, there might be children. And then once those children come along, there's just a lot of responsibilities. And those responsibilities then, you know, cause a distraction of focus, and ta-da, you know, and that's just that's just the way it goes. Now, are there other scenarios that can play out? Yes, absolutely, there are other scenarios that play out. Is this the easiest scenario of where the guy is getting a lot of attention initially and then not getting much attention later? That's the common scenario. Is the only response to that for the guy to start saying, well, I don't know why my wife won't have sex with me, and just doing stuff around the house so that he can earn points in his mind. He can earn points and then have sex. Yeah, no, that's not the only response to that. The real response to that is, husbands, love your wives. Okay, you made a commitment to this woman. You need to honor her. You need to serve her. You need to help her in any way that you can. You need to love her. You know, you need to do whatever you can to make her life better, to provide her an environment where she can live a fulfilled life. And if you never have sex with her again, it doesn't matter. What's important is that you are committed to her, and she feels that commitment from you. She feels your attention, and she feels your support. That's what's important. And she feels your love in the truest sense of the word. That she feels agape coming from you. And I gotta tell you, it's been my experience that if you do that, the warmth that you will generate, the calm that you will generate in your household far exceeds any transient spikes of pleasure you might get because your wife is willing to have sex with you all the time because she's desperately trying to make sure you don't leave her. I'm getting my mail. One moment. So, you know, at a baseline, what all men can do for their wives is love their wives. And not from any sort of attachment disorder viewpoint where they're looking to give something only to get something. These aren't negotiations. These aren't deals. This isn't tit for tat. This is, you are my wife. I am committed to you. I am here to be with you, to help you in everything you put your hand to do, to support you, and to do my best to see that you have the things that you need to succeed. Now then, beyond that, of course, there are other things beyond that that can be achieved. But land almighty, you got to get the foundation in first. And the foundation is, husbands, love your wives. We do have small groups tonight, so I am going to have to go. My remote isn't working, so I got to pick this up. And then I've got to stop this. I have made it home. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home. See ya.